I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What is our pain for? Because I will tell you right now, pain does have a purpose, and we are meant to find that purpose. Because God does love us, and He wouldn't allow us to experience 1 second of hurt if it wasn't absolutely necessary. For God does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. But He does bring it when He has to. And it's in the same way that you would pull your child's arm out of the socket if you saw them walk in front of a bus. Because your Father in heaven also is not willing that any of these little ones of His should perish. So remember, real love isn't giving each other what we want. It's giving what we need. And God knows that sometimes He needs to break an arm to save a life. So when we all start to feel personally afflicted by a nation that feels morally conflicted, our Christian response ought to start with a trusting question of our pain's purpose and not a doubting question of the goodness in God's plan. We can't start questioning Him. Again, this is what we were talking about last week. We gotta cry out and not lash out. Crying out says He's on the throne. Lashing out says we're on the throne. Because we should already know that all things work together for what?
Good.
For good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. So even our pain must somehow be working God's good. And to unpack that, which is because it's a tough question, to unpack that, let me ask you a question. Are sandwiches good?
Yes.
Yeah, they are. You guys are ready for that one? Well, I know this one. They are good. I had AI make that. It was the most mouthwatering sandwich I've ever seen. That's incredible. I mean, a club sandwich with like thick bacon, fresh avocado, and heirloom tomatoes might be one of the great pleasures of human life. Or I might need to raise my standards, but I'm like, it is just so great. So yeah, it's pretty good. But knowing that, let me ask you a follow-up question. Are sandwiches good at hammering nails into wood?
No.
No. Then sandwiches are bad because it is all about purpose. And misuse creates misery, right? If you don't use something for what it's meant to, if we don't see the created purpose something is supposed to serve, then we won't experience the good it has to offer. Instead, we'll be frustrated at its failure to function the way that we are trying to make it work. Which means to judge anything's goodness, you have to know what it is for. And in the same way that we would miss out on all the good in sandwiches if we believed that they were for hammering and not for hunger, we will miss out on all the good in pain if we believe that it's meant for earthly agony and not for eternal empowerment. And it is for that eternal empowerment. And Paul just explained that if we aren't focused on finding the good in pain, we're not seeing things the way that a God-loving follower of Christ is supposed to. And we are not recognizing how privileged we are to have access to that perspective of higher purpose. Actually getting to see that there's good behind it in a world that is literally dying for someone to share that hope. You know how privileged we are, how awesome it is to have that hope, to understand it. And yet, unfortunately, a lot of us are more concerned with earthly accountability than eternal implications. And that's just wrong. That's who we are. We're just children. We're just lashing out. We argue for judgment and justice and vengeance from fellow citizens of a broken world down here. When Scripture tells us plainly that dysfunction and disparity and discomfort are what we should expect once our world lost sight of God-sustaining love. That's just the fallout. That's the consequence. So before you blame anybody else in some inflammatory social media post or retaliatory outburst of accusation, and you just want to get fired up and blame somebody else down here, we need to stop, pump the brakes, admit and accept your part in the human sin that cut us all off from perfect harmony and created pain in the first place. That's on us. Amen. We all did it, guys. Ain't none of us perfect. Ain't none of us living like Jesus. And until we live like Jesus, we should know that we are all still missing the message behind all the brokenness that God is allowing. And we gotta find a way to change to hear. And to change how we hear, our focus must be on why we're hurting and not who hurt us. Because God only brings the pain if there's a life or death lesson to learn. It's serving a purpose. We gotta ask why. We gotta look at the disease, not the symptoms. And so it's a lot like the story of the bird and the lumberjack. I told you this, I think, a couple years back. Love this story. It's a lot like the story of the bird and the lumberjack. Because you see, there was this logger who was working logging, believe it or not. And he goes to mark all of the trees that are going to be cut down the next day. And he comes across this little mama bird that is trying to build a nest in one of the trees that he's marking that he's going to cut down the next day. And so knowing that she's just a bird, she's unaware of her mistake, his compassion kicks in and he spins his axe around and he just thumps the tree until all of the stuff just falls out of it and she flies away. But then he sees that she started again, making another nest in another one of the marked trees. And so the lumberjack follows and knocks everything down again. And after chasing her through a dozen different trees, the bird, who's got to be thinking, this proves it, lumberjacks are jerks. This bird finally flies up to a rock ledge where at last she could nest in peace. And the moral of the story is we can't judge what we don't understand. And furthermore, we are all up a tree until we build on the rock. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So we gotta stop. We all gotta stop acting and reacting to what our earthly eyes tell us, because we can't seem to see that every tree in this world is coming down. And since it's already falling apart, I mean, just look around. We know that's where all the pain is coming from. Everything's falling apart. Since everything's falling apart, expecting justice and harmony and peace or perfection from a place that is defined by its entropy and rottenness, well, that's just dangerous, because it can keep us clinging to this shallow perception of this world's stability, that, oh, it'll be fine if I just hang on to this stuff. And if we can't see ourselves making that mistake, which, I mean, that is us, you think that you got it all figured out. If we can't see ourselves making that mistake, nesting in the tree that's coming down, trying to act like this place is it, well, then it's actually incredibly kind and loving to shake our trees until we change our ways. Because with every single adversity that we experience, we are being prompted to ponder, what am I missing? Right? What am I missing? What am I doing wrong here? And that is the key question that we are supposed to ask, that we need to ask down here. Because despite how sure every opinionated earthling is that they have got the answers that would just set everybody else straight, well, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Okay? Let that humility really sink in. Ain't none of us got it right. Only Jesus. Only the lumberjack knows the real reason that he shook the tree. And only God knows why he shakes our lives. All we know is that it is much wiser to use the pain to check our perspective than to challenge God. Not a good idea. Just know that he's got something better, because life isn't about questioning God. It's about God questioning us. That's what we're doing here, because it's our hearts that need constant inspections to root out all the bad judgment that is distracting us from the good of God. He's saying, you just got to shift your perspective. I'm trying to save you, stupid bird. Because just like that bird, we can mistake kindness, God's kindness, for cruelty and protection for pain. We can say, what are you doing? He's like, I'm helping you. You just got to see it. But we can do that every time we rely on our shallow earthly eyes instead of going to him and asking about it. But nothing will shake up our perspective, which is what we need. Nothing will shake it up like losing control of our life. And nothing robs us of control like a little unexpected pain and affliction. Sorry. I'm just sorry to say it, but it's true. And like lots of us, that's what Jamie Aiton learned when he got diagnosed with cancer. It's part of life. And so after a long recovery, he goes through this whole long recovery, and he's talking about it with people and discussing it with everyone. He decided that he was going to start researching how we respond and how our response to trauma changes our perspective on pain. And he eventually concluded that the best way to tackle any affliction was to make meaning of your experience. Right, just find some purpose in it. But in doing that, he came up with this really interesting finding. He said, in studying disaster survivors, because there's a whole bunch of them, he found two different ways that believers did this, responded to the trauma. And he said one group believed that God was punishing them, and another believed that God saved them. And among those groups, he learned affliction was so much worse for the I'm being punished people and so much easier for the I'm saved group. Because in the end, those looking for the positive purpose found it so much faster than the ones who were looking for a reason for God's wrath. Like the one man that they met who had his roof blown off by a storm, but he offered this optimism. He said, sometimes you have to lose the roof to see the stars. Boy, I wish I had that kind of faith. Boy, I sure do. We may not get to choose whether hard things happen, but we do get to choose how we see it. Agreed. And although we all ask, I mean, instinctually, we all ask, what is God using all this pain for when we're trying to make sense of our suffering? Few of us are really willing to or really want to see the answer that we already know, which is it's all working together for good. That's what it is for. We just don't want to see it. But our light and momentary troubles that we're having right down here right now are present tense, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, everything that's going on down here. So we gotta learn to fix our eyes not on what is seen down here and all this pain and difficulty and trouble and everything, but on what's unseen, right? What it's producing, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's what matters. That's just that easy. Sermon over. Good luck. No. No one said it was going to be easy. No one said it's going to feel easy. It's hard. God knows it's hard. That's why we're here. This is the work that we're working out when we're working out our salvation. And for instance, I got to tell you the story of this single dad who I just loved to death. This single dad who had been searching for a church for a while, started coming to his place over a year ago. And I love this guy. He's just one of those guys who's just bubbling up. And also, I got to say, let me admit this because I'm just a shallow human being. He came up to me once and he said, I'm going to start calling you Pastor Babe Ruth. And I said, why? And he goes, because every time you preach, you knock it out of the park. And I said, you just became my favorite person of all time. I'm like, we love people who love us. That's just the unfortunate. Yeah. Anyway, but I love this guy. He was just so bubbly. And every conversation was this joyful chat about what God was doing and how this church and you guys and the fellowship and everything was a part of it. And just a few weeks ago, he started a brand new job that I was so excited for him to have because I love the employers too. They attend this church and it was so good. Everything was just wonderful. And so you can imagine my shock when the employer called me the week before last to say that he just died without warning. Out of nowhere. It knocked me out. I mean, cold. I had that reaction where it was like, I had to catch my breath. What? No? Huh? I mean, it was so difficult. And so when I was asked to officiate his funeral, I got to say, I was struggling. I'm sitting here trying to put together, hey, it's all right, it's all good. And I was having a hard time. I'm a human being. I mean, and it just really, I was like, God, what are you doing? I was struggling to see anything good at work. There's supposed to be good behind this, but I just saw all this difficulty. And it wasn't until the service itself, the graveside standing there with his whole family, extended family, people coming from out of town. It wasn't until that moment that the good came into focus, and it became very obvious. His death didn't weaken anyone. It grew everyone's strength, and I mean, it changed me. It was as much for me. Their convictions, the convictions that I saw, the love and their faith in Jesus was staggering. Everyone was sharing. Everybody who came up to speak gave a mini sermon that just moved me to the core. And they just leaned into each other and it just galvanized them. It was incredible. I was standing there. I got sunburned. I didn't even know about it until later on. I came back and they were like, "You are so red." And I was like, I was just witnessing something incredible. And when I saw all that eternal good happening, just they were just strong. They knew where he was. They weren't worried. They were sad. We were grieving. It was tough. But they knew. Their faith was just so strong. And when I saw that eternal good and how much it easily outweighed the loss of one temporary physical body, because that's all that it is, right? That was incredible. The problem is we can't do that kind of math until we have that kind of perspective. And that takes faith. It takes real, real faith, which is why the Christian life isn't comfortable, but it is valuable. It puts purpose to all that pain. It explains it because it is lovingly designed to rock our boats with challenges and opportunities that lead us to a perspective that can actually see the purpose behind all of the painful problems of an imperfect world. And it shows us also that we actually need those storms. We need those storms to reveal our spiritual weakness and where we're living in conflict with God and others and our true self. Because before that full-blown thunderstorm arrives, whenever the real big stuff happens, our lives can still be full of this very low-level frustration and irritation and depression that just grows into the new normal. And that's even more devastating. And we just start to accept it on this path of least resistance. We say, that's how it goes. And as we do that, we slip into this trance of the tolerable. We just say, what else are you going to do about it? And when that happens, it's just the saddest. It's the worst thing that could possibly happen because we start to see stagnancies as the goal. Let's just stop moving altogether and just, you know, let it be. And we accept that because we're just worried that we'll make more waves if we rock the boat at all. But I gotta tell you right now, that is not what we are here for. That is not why God put us here. That is not what he is working. He's working for good, not meh. Right? And aiming for comfortable over valuable means ignoring the fact that avoiding affliction just leaves us lost at sea. We can't. He loves us too much. He can't leave us lost at sea. So at some point, a loving God has to snap us out of it, has to just wake us up, because even if we ignore all of the chronic aches and pains and little grumpies that we do throughout daily life, we can't look past what makes all of our worries real, which is death. And you need to hear this, but thank God for death, because we need something to shake us and wake us and make us choose change. He loves us too much to let us just sit here. And if we won't invite God on board to rock our boat, then he'll turn up the intensity and he'll just keep doing it, whatever it takes to kill that comfort that breeds apathy and dishonesty and self-sufficiency. That's the stuff that'll kill you. He loves you too much. He loves you too much. He's willing to break an arm to save a soul. He loves you too much to let you live with this spiritual stagnation that'll smother your soul. And so he'll do whatever it takes to get his kids home. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves. He's the one who, he'll bring the storm. Then they'll reel to and fro, and they're at their wits' end. And then they cry out. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, because that's what it takes to break the trance of the tolerable. You just can't ignore it anymore. And only after that, he brings them out of their distresses. He says, okay, look, now you can see the moral of the story. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. And then, only then, they are glad because they are quiet. And that's how the bad weather can make faith better, because that's when they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. right? We had to get through something together. You've probably heard the old saying, God comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable, right? You ever heard that? Love that saying. God, well, if you haven't, then again, I wrote it. It's really great. Comforts the disturbed, and he disturbs the comfortable. I'm thinking maybe we should change a little bit and say, God disturbs the comfortable so that the disturbed will seek his comfort. Like I was saying last week, he'll kick you off that cliff if that's what it takes to get you to grab out for him. It's good. That's a good thing. Because God uses our pain to drive each one of us to the crucial, just critical, necessary decision that is going to define our perception, how we see things. And it's going to guide and direct our lives every step of the way. And it's this. Ask yourself, do you want truth even if it's uncomfortable? Or do you want comfort even if it's untrue? That's a convicting question. Be honest about it, because I would love to say that I'm always choosing truth, but boy, comfort looks good sometimes. In a place that's this painful, it's sometimes I'd rather have the comfort if it's untrue. And it sure would be comforting to believe that our faith will protect us from all the pain and suffering in this world, and that God is going to stop every unjust bullet before it delivers devastation. But the uncomfortable truth is, pain is a big part of God's plan to bring us home. It's a big part. He knows it. He doesn't want to use it. He loves us. He doesn't want us to feel it, but it sure gets the job done. It's the silent reminder that separation from our Savior stings all the time. And it's the unexpected tool that we get to use to see God's good. We don't want to, but it's there. It works. And it's because being carried through pain is the best way to see love. Right? That's the experience. You just know it, being carried through. So even if they hurt us, okay, I don't care what side of anything anybody's on, it's all the same. Even if the other side hurts you, if we want our enemies to join our side, you got to carry them through their pain to show them God's love. You got to have eyes to sympathize so that you can realize their choices are just different ways to deal with the same pain. We're all in this boat together. And until they see something good from following Jesus through the pain, well, then they're going to stay convinced to stick with their strategy, and they're just going to stay in pain. So as hard as it is, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, which is not now, by the way, that's the only time we know it isn't. It's not now. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. And I mean all people. They're everybody, every hurting human on this planet. We gotta do good to all people, because all people are experiencing pain right now. That's, again, what this place is defined by. And all that pain is an opportunity to make God's love visible. So who's going to show it? If not you, who? Right? Who's going to show it? This is your calling. And regardless of your personal political solutions or your moral integrity or your spiritual maturity, evil wins when good men do nothing good. You gotta go do something good. And God saved you to save others, not to judge them. That's not our job. We're here to say how good it is to be saved. So go share it, right? Stop blaming, shaming, and punishing others who are trying to cope without the hope that you have. How blessed are we to have that hope? Instead, start showing them God's good. Give them hope. Give them what you got. Because in case you haven't seen it, it's all working for good all the time. God's in control. In all of this escalating anger and injustice and oppression and depression that is just spreading everywhere across the country and the globe, really. If you haven't seen it, here's the good news. It's producing exponential growth in Christian conversation. I'm seeing more prayer than I've ever seen. I'm seeing more fellowship than I've ever seen. Our church is a little more full than it used to be. And I'm seeing miraculous forgiveness. That's the good. Because God is good and God is in control. He's on the throne and he is willing to allow all these temporary troubles to save all our eternal lives. We just got to see it. Just remember that. It's good. It's good stuff. He's never not at work. So here is the bottom line. The same pain that tears us apart can pull us together. Okay? It can be used for good. We just have to be unified in our perspective to share in its purpose. To say, God's turning this into good. Know it. But there's still a whole group who haven't seen. There's a whole group that haven't seen what all their pain is for. They don't have that answer. I asked that at the beginning, what's all your pain for? You know the answer. It's for good. Sometimes it's hard to see. It's hard to, but you know it. They don't even know it. So they're lashing out. They're trying to figure it out. They don't see that they're trying to use a sandwich as a hammer. And everything's really hard for them because it's a bad hammer. They don't see that the lumberjack is actually trying to save them, not ruin things. They don't see that they got to lose the roof to see the stars. They don't see that they're in a trance of the tolerable. They don't see that God's love is the only thing that can carry them home. And they don't see how that's the ultimate purpose behind all of their pain. But if you know God, you do. Hallelujah, you do. You get to know that. And you also know that you are called to show them. So this week, let's do nothing else but that. Let's do it, amen?
Amen,
amen. And let's pray about it. Father God, we love you and we thank you for loving us enough to shake our world so we can see the purpose pain has in your big good plan. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you just stir our faith to pursue truth over comfort by accepting our call to carrying our enemies through their pain. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for carrying our sin and using our suffering to pull us closer to you, and we follow your example in hopes that our love will also grow louder and louder than this world's pain. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.